Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study message. And this evening as we begin, Melody and I are going to sing our little chorus, Be Careful for Nothing, and I encourage you to sing along with us. Be careful for nothing but in every single thing, give your burdens to the Lord. Be careful for nothing but in every single thing, give your burdens to the Lord. Give them with thanksgiving and give them with supplication, and God will give you peace of mind that passes understanding. Be careful for nothing but in every single thing, give your burdens to the Lord. All right, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our Bible study tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting our needs. Thank you for caring for us. And thank you for the opportunity for us to come together and listen to your word. And I pray that you just give direction and guidance. Please guide my thoughts and my words that they may be just what each of us need to be an encouragement and a help to us. As we look at the life of Elijah once again, I pray that you just teach us from his life things that can be a help to us, especially in times when we get so discouraged and frustrated as he did. I pray that you please help us to learn from you, and may this be a beneficial time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening we are in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 once again. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 18. Actually, we probably won't get through all of them. We're going to go through about half of the lesson tonight and pick up on the rest of it next week, Lord willing. But 1 Kings chapter 19 and beginning with verse number 5 is where we're going to be at this morning, or this evening. And so, as we consider this, remember, after Elijah's great victory, that day when he prayed down fire from heaven and he prayed down rain from heaven and God gave him a great victory and he ran before the chariot and got into Jezreel and all of those great events that took place, then he plunged from that mountain peak to a very valley deep in just a moment when he read Jezebel's threat to kill him. And in fear for his life, he fled south all the way to the wilderness below Israel. And that is where we find him this evening, asleep under a juniper shrub. So in verse number 5 it says, "And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat." Now as we think about the situation Elijah was in, Elijah did not do right, but God did not give up on him. God had not given up on Elijah. And Elijah was fearful instead of being full of faith. You know, he had been a man of faith. He trusted God during the time at the brook, and he trusted God up there in Zarephath with the widow and her son. And he trusted God in many ways, but now he was a man who was fearful instead of full of faith. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves in that kind of a situation. And he was wallowing in self-pity. Instead of just trusting in the Lord, he kept looking at himself and thinking, woe is me. And he even asked God to take his life because he was so frustrated. And he was running instead of standing strong. You know, prior to this, he stood up to Ahab and the wicked people. And he was a strong man, but now he finds himself running instead of standing. And though he lost his fellowship with God through this whole ordeal, he had not lost his relationship with God. And, you know, that is something we must get a grip on here tonight. I want to just spend a few moments thinking on that thought, because we need that. There are times that we are going to drift away from God and trip and fall and make wrong choices, but God does not give up on his children. And he never disowns those who truly know him as their Savior, even when we fall or fail him. And failure does not mean defeat. You know, the devil wants us to think if we've failed, we're done for. We're defeated. And he tries to tell us that, you know, that that's the end of our usefulness for God. God had not given up on Elijah, and that God did not consider him a lost cause. You know, the Lord understood his frailty and graciously reached down to restore him. Now, God will do that for Elijah, and he'll do that for us as well. And so, we need to remember this. Not only that, but you know, it's time for us then to take a look at the Bible and look at some of the examples throughout the Bible where God gives us the life story of men who failed him. Notable men. Men who got discouraged. Men who became carnal. Men who just tripped and fell. But God did not give up on them. Men like Job. You know, Job got discouraged. There's no question about that. You start reading the book of Job, and at the start, he's real strong. He stands up to his wife. He stands up to his friends. But by the time you get through most of the book, toward the end, he's getting discouraged, and he wished he had never been born. He was in misery and agony with all of his pain and all of the things that had happened to him. And he got frustrated, but God didn't give up on Job. And God came down and had a good talk with Job and restored Job that which he lost, and God blessed again in his life. Then we think of Abraham. You know, Abraham, he was a man of God, but yet he made some wrong choices. He married Hagar, and instead of waiting on the Lord, had a son by Hagar, and Ishmael now is the father of the Arab nation and has been the enemies of Israel for centuries. And yet God did not give up on Abraham. He didn't say, all right, you're done for because you've failed me. Jacob, we find Jacob was a deceiver. You know, he deceived his brother and tricked him out of his birthright and out of his blessing. And he deceived his father and thinking that he could get his way by deceiving his father instead of trusting God with his future. And yet God didn't give up on Jacob. And God used him and his children in years to come. We think also of Moses. You know, probably one of the greatest men in the Bible is that great man, Moses. Moses spent those 40 years in the palace in Egypt, and then he spent another 40 years in the wilderness feeding the sheep before he became God's leader of Israel at 80 years old. And he led those people through thick and thin, and the people got discouraged, and they complained and griped and caused all kinds of trouble during those 40 years. And toward the end of those 40 years, God told him to, the people were wanting water, and God told him to go speak to the rock and that God would send water out of the rock. And Moses got so frustrated and angry with those people that he hit the rock instead of speaking to it. And he lost the blessing of God. But God hadn't given up on him. God didn't reject him, but it did harm his walk with God. And while David was fleeing from Saul, what did he do? Well, there were times when David trusted God, but there's other times when he went down to the Philistines for protection. A couple of different times he went down to the Philistines for protection, and both times it got him into trouble. And he ran into all kinds of conflicts down there and had to, you know, have a terrible time trying to get out of those messes. Jeremiah. You know, you read the book of Jeremiah, and you see there that Jeremiah got so frustrated. He's preaching to the people in the years just prior, 40 years just prior to them going into captivity in Babylon. And as he's preaching to the people, they're not listening. They won't obey. They won't do what God tells them to do. And he gets so frustrated, and they are hard on Jeremiah. They put him in the stocks, and they threw him in the dungeon, and they treated him so terribly bad many times. And Jeremiah at one point just said, I quit. I'm not going to preach anymore. But then he said, I can't. It burns in my heart. I've got to preach. And God hadn't given up on Jeremiah. He could not escape God's call. Then there's Jonah. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? He got on a boat and went the opposite direction, trying to run from God. He fled away from God's mission call. Did God give up on him? No. God caused him to be thrown into the water, swallowed by a big fish. And there, for 3 days and three nights, in that fish, Jonah had time to get right with God. He had time to think about what he had done wrong. And he got right with God, and God used him. God didn't give up on Jonah. We move over to the New Testament. We find Peter. Peter was that outspoken disciple of Jesus, kind of a fiery type of a fella. And Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me before the rooster crows. And Peter said, I'll never do that. I'll never deny you. But he did. He denied him just as the Lord said. And Peter felt terribly, terribly bad by that. He went out and wept. But God didn't give up on Peter. God made a great preacher out of Peter. And Peter preached and thousands were saved. And then one last example, John Mark. John Mark was that young man that was the nephew of Barnabas that went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And they got just barely into the missionary journey and things looked like they were going to be difficult. And John Mark had second thoughts and decided to go back home to mama. And he left them. And Paul was very frustrated with him, so much so that the next journey, Paul said, no way, he's not coming with us again. But you know, later on in his life, Mark got right with God, and God used him, and God even used him to write the book of Mark that's in our Bible today. And so, God uses people that fail, and there are times in your life and mine when we get discouraged. We will at times, step out of fellowship with God. And when that happens, the devil wants us to think that we're useless. The devil wants us to think that we have failed beyond recovery. He'll try to tell us that life is no more worth living. And we might better be dead. He'll tell us all kinds of terrible things. But you know, such thoughts are nothing but lies. And we need to be careful not to believe the devil during those times of discouragement when we have tripped and fallen. If we will be humble enough to repent and obey God, there will always be something that God can use us to do. God does not throw us away. God will restore us if we will repent. You know, that's why there's those wonderful verses in the Bible. Remember Psalm 86:5? For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Then Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so God delights in bringing us back into fellowship with him. And you know, God may not be able to fulfill his original plan in our life. But an awesome thing about God is that God is expert at remodeling our clay pots that become marred on the potter's wheel. I encourage you to turn with me now over in your Bibles to Jeremiah. We'll come back to Kings, but just flip over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. And I want us to read those first six verses that deal with this illustration that God gave to Jeremiah regarding his remolding the people of Israel if they would repent. We got it there, Jeremiah chapter 18, look at verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. That is a good reminder for us. God says that Israel was in God's hand, and he could do with Israel as he saw fit. And he could remold them if he chose to. And you know, the same is true with us. If God can remold the people of Israel when they repent, and God can remold these great men that we've seen, Job and Abraham and Moses and Jacob and Jeremiah and Jonah and all of these others, if God can do that for them, if he can remold them and use them in a way that would honor him, then God certainly can do that for us. And so the next time you get out of sorts with God and aren't walking with God, or you trip and fall, and the devil tricks you into sin, and you yield to him, and you do something you shouldn't do, remember that if you will get back up and humbly repent and confess it to God, God will forgive and God can remold. Now, he may not be able, depending on what you've done, he may not be able to put you back in exactly the same plan that he had before, but he can remold that clay into something useful for his glory. So, God did not give up on Elijah. Very important for us to remember that. But then also I want us to see here tonight that God delivered Elijah from despair. Now, look down again at verse number 5. Back before we were there in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 5, we saw there that it says that he lay under a juniper tree. And then it goes on and it says, and behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now, Elijah's stress had caused him 4 major problems. Number 1, he was physically exhausted. Number 2, he was emotionally stressed. Number 3, he was spiritually wayward. And number 4, he was mentally derailed. Now, we're going to look at each one of these. We'll not get all of them here tonight. We'll get 1, maybe 2 of them here tonight. But we'll eventually get to the rest of them. And then next week, Lord willing, we'll cover the rest of them. But as we look at this, first of all, I want us to notice that Elijah was physically exhausted. So God let him rest. Verse number 5 says that he went down there, fell asleep under a juniper tree, and the angel touched him and said, rise and eat. Now, you just have to use your thoughts as you look at this passage. It's really kind of neat. The Lord sent his angel to minister to him. And what did the angel do? It says that the angel touched him. Now, stop and picture in your mind. What is Elijah doing? What is Elijah doing? He has been running and hiding. He's been fearful that someone's going to catch up with him. Someone's going to find him. Someone's going to discover him. He's going to get caught. Jezebel's going to get him. And he's fallen asleep. And he's sound asleep. And the angel comes and touches him. I imagine the terror that must have suddenly rushed through his emotions knowing that someone had found him. Can you imagine him sleeping there under that little shrub tree and he felt the touch of someone, and fear probably rushed through his adrenaline from head to toe. Someone found me. We don't know any of the details. God doesn't tell us that. But perhaps the angel calmed his fears before addressing his need. We don't know. But I have this feeling that Elijah just totally, you know, his blood pressure just hit sky high when that angel touched him and he woke up in a startle. His instructions to Elijah were simple. He said, arise and eat. Arise and eat. You know, in a miraculous way then, God provides for him. Look at verse 6. And he looked, so Elijah looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid down him down again. All right, it says that he looked up, and right there in front of him, there was a cake baked on the coals. Now, he's not talking about a birthday cake. It's a cake of bread, probably something like a flatbread type of thing that they were used to eating. But it was cooked, baked there on the coals of the fire. And there was a cruse of water. Now, where did that fire come from? Where did that cake of food come from? Where did that water come from? It was a miracle. God just provided it for him. God just made it appear. And the angel sent that for him. Now, that ought to have been an encouragement to him to realize God had provided his need. God had met that need. And God had reached out in a miraculous way and built a fire for him, baked a cake for him, gave him water to drink to care for him. Then what did Elijah do? It says that he did eat and drink and he laid him down again. Without objection then, Elijah obeyed the angel, sat up and ate and drank from the water, and lay back down and fell asleep. Now, God does not record any response from Elijah. Now, whether Elijah had any kind of correspondence with this angel, whether he knew who he was talking to, we don't know any of that stuff. God doesn't tell us that. But one thing that we see very clearly, that Elijah made not one word of gratefulness to God. Not a word of thanks. There was nothing here saying, "Oh Lord, thank you for caring for me. Thank you for meeting this need. I was so hungry. Thank you for providing for me." Not a word of that. And Keithley in his commentary points out, he said, when we are depressed and out of fellowship with God, we tend to be insensitive and ungrateful as the unbelieving world. You know, so many people in our unbelieving world are so ungrateful. And as Christians, when we get away from God and we get out of fellowship with God and we get discouraged, sometimes we can become ungrateful too. You know, that is something for each of us to ponder and think about even right now. We need to be grateful people for what God's doing for us. You know, we need to be grateful to each other. We need to be grateful to our family members that help us and meet our needs. Children, you need to be grateful to your parents. Tell them thank you for their food. You know, when's the last time you thanked mom for cooking the meal? When's the last time that we thanked dad for working hard and providing for us? And husband and wives, we need to be grateful to each other and thank each other for the things that we do for each other and appreciate one another. And we need to be thankful people. You need to be thankful for the Word of God that you have and the opportunity you have to listen to the Word. And you, be thankful people. So look for opportunities to be thankful and thank God for His goodness. You know, there's some of the Psalms, in fact, many of the Psalms, toward the end of the Psalms, are full of thanksgiving and praise. And some of those Psalms would be good for us to review again and read again and think about and ponder, because God is encouraging us to be thankful, grateful people. And so let's not forget to be thankful for what God does for us. After a good rest, the angel woke him again. We see in verse number 8, well, actually in verse number 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because thy journey is too great for thee." All right, so once again, the angel comes and touches him again. This time he's been sleeping again. So whether it startled him again, I don't know. Maybe this time he kind of was expecting it. It wasn't so scared when the angel touched him. I don't know. But the angel touches him again, wakes him up and says, "You need to eat some more." And how long did he sleep? Who knows? Maybe he slept half the day and it was time for lunch or dinner again. But the angel wakes him up now and says, "You got to eat. We got a long journey ahead of us and it's too great for thee. So you need to get up and eat." So verse number 8, it says, and he arose and did eat and drank. All right, he rose and ate and drank, and then he went in the strength. All right, so we're going to look at that in just a moment. So he rose and ate and drank. Now, God met his needs, and God provided for him, and he took care of him. Now, when we are down and discouraged, you know, there's two things that will often help us. Number one is rest, and number two is refreshment. When we're tired or hungry, it is difficult to listen to instructions. It's difficult to feel right. It's difficult to be cheerful if you're tired and you're hungry. It's difficult to do what God wants us to do. And God knows that often our physical needs must be met before our spiritual needs can be met. And so God encourages us with this. And we see this example with Elijah and how God, yet it wasn't Elijah's fault or his idea. Elijah didn't get on his knees before God and said, "God, you know I'm starving, hungry. I need some food to eat and I'm thirsty too. Would you please give me some water?" He didn't say that at all. Elijah didn't seem to ask for it. He had just kind of, he's running from God, really, in a lot of realities. He's just away from God and he's not thinking straight and he's not being logical. And yet God still cared for him. God hadn't forgotten him. God reached out with food and with rest and provided for him and met his needs. So we saw here the first of these four major problems that he had was that he was physically exhausted and God let him rest and eat. The second of these four major problems was that Elijah was emotionally stressed. So God gave him 6 weeks of no stress. Verse number 8, once again, we saw the first half. It says that he rose and did eat and it drank. And he went in the strength of that meat or that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Now remember, Horeb was Mount Sinai, that place where Moses had gotten the Ten Commandments from God. And so he travels for 40 days and 40 nights down to Mount Horeb. Now, Keith Lee and others, as they've studied into this, and you look at it, and even, you know, as I looked up the geography of it myself, I found the same thing to be true. Keith Lee notes that a straight trip from the broom tree, or this juniper tree, the shrub that was there, that he'd been sleeping under, from there down to Mount Sinai, was a little more than 7 or maybe 8 days journey. Now, why did it take him 40 days to get there? Well, I think there's a reason for that. He had already traveled a day's journey south of Beersheba when he slept under this juniper bush. And from that location, from the juniper bush down to Mount Sinai, is less than 400 kilometers. And so when you think about that, less than 400 kilometers, there's no way that it should have taken him 40 days to get down there. But God let him take his time, and God let him travel slowly. And God gave him nearly 6 weeks with no stress. There was no one chasing him, no one to fear, no one to be afraid of. And he just had some quiet times walking along the trail. Perhaps during this time he talked with the Lord. I don't know. God doesn't tell us. But he had 6 weeks to just quietly rest and meander along the trail and make his way down to Mount Horeb. Now, when he reached Mount Horeb, God led him to a cool cave. We find there in verse number 9, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. God led him to a cave. Now, caves are usually cool, much cooler than outside. A lot of times they're very stable, comfortable temperature. And God led him to a cave for his lodging. Was that a coincidence? No. You can be sure that the Lord was directing him, even if he had not been asking for direction. And we don't know what was going on between the Lord and Elijah during this time. Was Elijah talking to the Lord? Was it Elijah just pouting and still by himself and rejecting God? We don't know. But there's nothing recorded of his conversation with God. But this slow-paced travel and pleasant cave stay was just what his emotions needed. And he was able to start to recover. And you know, when our emotions are stressed, it is time for us to take a no-stress holiday. And a lot of times that's hard, to be able to get away and to genuinely rest. I know as a pastor, it's hard to do that, hard to get away. And yet it's something that we need for our own selves, each of us. You know, when we go through times of stress, we need some no-stress time, some just downtime, to be able to relax and slow pace down and not to worry, not to think about troubles, not to be fixing problems, but just relax and rest. And so we're going to stop there this evening, but let's just review briefly over what we've seen here tonight. We saw that God did not give up on Elijah. And no matter how we go wrong and what bad choices we may make, if we will come back to God and repent and humbly return to Him, God is willing and able to remold our lives. And so I encourage you tonight, if you've stepped out of line, you haven't been what God wants you to be, you've drifted away from the Lord, maybe on the outside everybody thinks you're doing fine, but inside you know deep down inside that you're not really walking with God, then God is begging you to come back. And He wants you to come to Him. Remember Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And so He's calling us back to Him, and He will rebuild us and remold us and remake us into something that is usable for His glory if we will come back to Him. And then we saw that Elijah was physically exhausted, and God let him rest and eat and rest and eat until he got his strength built back up. And we need that as well. We need to take those times of rest physically. And Elijah was emotionally stressed, and God gave him 6 weeks of no stress to just be able to calm his emotions and rebuild and stabilize. And so tonight, as we think on these things, let's just ask God to work in our hearts and to help us. And you know, if in your own heart and your own life, you see some of these issues that we've talked about here tonight, then deal with them. Let God have His way. If you're not close to God, draw close to Him and let Him remold you. Humble yourself before Him. And if you're stressed and physically exhausted and emotionally stressed, then ask God to help you to be able to deal with those things and to just get some rest and to get some strengthening built back up, that God might give you the grace you need to do for these things. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, You know that we are frail and that there are times that we step out of line, and there are times that we deny You as Peter did, or we get upset as Moses did, or we make wrong choices like Jonah did. And Lord, we get ourselves into trouble. But Lord, we're so grateful that You are a loving God that doesn't give up on us, and that You are waiting for us to come back and humbly repent, that You might be able to remold us and draw us back near You. And Lord, You said that if we will draw near to You, You will draw near to us. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to do that tonight. Strengthen us when we get weary and feel in despair. Deliver us from that, Lord. Help us to get the rest and the emotional strength that we need to be able to keep doing what is right. May You build us up as You built up Elijah. Help us to learn from this tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.